Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today's topic is On the Verge of Hell. You know, I was speaking at a church, and there was a man who stood up and wanted to give his testimony. He proceeded to tell us that he was sentenced to life imprisonment for committing a murder, a crime which he didn't commit. He was innocent. He had been in prison for 15 years and had reached a place where he was so depressed that he decided to commit suicide.
Oh, Bill, that reminds me of the scripture in Proverbs 13 that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick."
That's so true.
I mean, that's a long time he was in there without committing that crime.
Right.
And then on the verge of committing suicide.
That'd be terrible. You know, right before his attempt to kill himself, he noticed a book in the prison library titled 23 Minutes in Hell, which I wrote. He decided to read it. He read where I mentioned prison cells in hell, but the people in those cells were there for all eternity, with no chance of escape. He read where I stated that God loves everyone and will forgive anyone who asks him and will save anyone who would trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He also read the scripture verses I listed that if a person didn't repent, they would go to that place of torment forever. So he then decided to receive the Lord and invite him into his heart. He became a Christian. Praise God.
Yes, and that's so beautiful and so powerful. You know, I remember afterwards, he read a certain verse in the Bible and decided to trust in it. It's the verse in Isaiah 61:1, which says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." He made a decision to exercise his faith and believe God for that verse to come to pass in his life.
Well, that's so good.
You know, and I love what Jeremiah 2:17 says, "You are my hope in the day of evil." You know, God is our hope, and God definitely was this man's hope.
Yes.
And also, this verse applies to his situation. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." He had to be patient now. I mean, he believing God would move on the right person's heart to find him innocent and open that prison door.
Boy, that was a perfect verse for him to see and stand on. You know, and it's interesting, about a year later, he shared that evidence came forth and revealed that he was in fact innocent. He was released from prison. And then 2 days later, he was at church telling us the story. You know, God is so faithful to honor his word. And he told us that he knows he would have gone to hell and been locked up in torment forever if he hadn't read the book and asked God to forgive him. He said that he was so thankful he didn't commit suicide and so thankful to Jesus for saving him. Now, he was a big, strong-looking man, but was weeping, telling the whole church his story.
That is so powerful.
It is.
You know, and we've got to notice here how he had to make these decisions first in order to reestablish hope in his life. I mean, he had to make the decision to read your book when he saw it there in the library.
Right.
He had to, after reading it, act on what the verses said. He had to ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins, to ask him into his heart. He had to find that verse in Isaiah and then see it just, you know, God, the Holy Spirit probably highlighted it for him, and he decided to believe God for it. So he had to exercise his faith and trust that God would help him and rescue him out of that situation.
That's right. He had to make these decisions. That's right. You know, God's desire is to help everyone who would call out on him to be saved and not for anyone to go to hell. You know, he gives people countless opportunities throughout their lives.
For instance, you might want to think about all the times that someone shared Christ with you at your workplace, or a friend or even a stranger tried to talk to you about Jesus, but you refused to listen. Or how many times you clicked the channel on the TV when someone was preaching the gospel and you wouldn't hear it? Or how many churches have you driven by but didn't stop to visit or inquire? Or how many times someone has invited you to go to church and you refused? Or you may have had a grandmother or a relative try to tell you about the way of salvation and you got up, you were angry, you walked out of the room.
That's right. All the times God tries to reach people, all the ways he does, reminds me of my brother, the story with my brother. You know, he was only 53 years old and he died several years ago of cancer. Now he was not a Christian up until the point he was saved, but throughout his whole life, he was not a Christian. He didn't serve God. He was not interested in the things of God. But my mother, she would not give up on praying for him. She prayed day and night for him for years and years. And then when he was in the hospital, she stayed in the hospital, actually slept there in the bed day and night praying and standing on the verse that thy and thy whole household shall be saved. She hung on to that verse and she just claimed, my son will not go to hell. And then, you know, he was in a coma during this time. And he actually came out of the coma and he sat up and he said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then he fell over and died. So my mom truly believed, and I believe, that Jesus appeared to him right before he died. And that's why he sat up and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He saw that Jesus was gracious and saved him. But it was because of my mom's diligence to pray like she did.
She did. I mean, your mom was an amazing woman. The most godly woman I have ever known or met in my life.
She was.
I mean, she was just praying in the spirit around the clock for him. You know, I think sometimes she was speaking out the scriptures, but then she was also praying in the spirit in tongues because she didn't always know what to pray. But she wouldn't give up. You know, your mom was such an amazing woman. I think her prayers, too, were so powerful, Bill, because she always walked in love and forgiveness.
That's right.
She was the sweetest woman, but a powerful woman in the spirit. She knew how to take her authority in Christ. She knew how to take authority over the enemy. And she would pray, even despite hardships and things she went through in her life at times, and even physical things. But she would not give up praying for her family.
Right, and she never complained. She never griped. She just praised the Lord all the time. She had such a love in her. She truly loved everyone, never had one negative word to say about anybody. And she prayed for us, for every place we've gone. And I know that's why God's blessed us so much. It was partially because of her wonderful prayers.
Anyway, amen.
That's right. You know, the vision of hell that God had given me, which I wrote about in my book, caused me to have a burning heart for people's eternal soul. You know, I wanted to tell everyone how to stay out of hell. It was so pressing that I could hardly stand it when someone laughed at the Bible and the words of Jesus, where he said he was the only way to heaven. You know, and this analogy might help give you an insight as to my feelings and my urgency to warn others. Now, say you were lying beside a beautiful swimming pool and you observed some evil-looking men pull up in a truck and begin to drain the pool to halfway, then empty the truckload of acid into the pool. You would know they were up to no good. Then they toss a piece of metal into the newly filled pool of water, and the metal disintegrates immediately. You would now be certain that if someone jumps in the pool, they will suffer a horrible death. The men in the truck then leave. Now, around the corner, you see many small children running towards the pool. The water looks very inviting. The children are getting closer and obviously intend on jumping in the water. The question is, what would you do? Would you just lie there and think, well, they're not my kids? No, of course not. You would jump up and try your best to stop them, even tackle them if they were not going to stop. You would not let them jump into their death. Well, this is how I felt. And I didn't, I just wanted to tell everyone I could. I would look at a crowd of people and think, what can I do to tell them about Jesus? You know, it made me think of Ephesians 2:12, where it says they were without Christ, having no hope and without God in this world. That's how I would look at a crowd of people, because most people don't know Jesus, as he said in Matthew 7. You know, I had to warn them about what is coming up at the end of life for anyone who hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." You know, because you are alive, you have hope, and that should give you great joy, because those in hell have absolutely no hope whatsoever, and they know it. Isaiah 38:18 says, "They that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth." And we know Jesus said, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." They have no hope for him because it's too late. And Job 7:9 says, "He that goes down to Sheol shall come up no more." And that really is a hopeless situation for those people in hell.
Yes, you know, but God wants to help everyone listening here. He wants to help you no matter how bad you have been, no matter what you've done in your past or how terrible your situation is. You know, he will help you. He will save you if you just ask him to forgive you, to repent, turn away from sin, and turn towards him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, as Luke 13:3 and Romans 10:9-10 state. Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. He alone can save you.
That's right. That's right. You know, the man in the prison who was going to commit suicide was at a desperate place in his life. It took that kind of desperation for him to finally call out on God. Hopefully, you won't wait until a tragedy or crisis hits your life. You know, we encourage you to make a decision to place your faith and hope in Jesus Christ today.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.